This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. We're talking now with Paul Layton of the Beverly Beat, formerly of the Beverly Times and the Salem Evening News and countless other publications, I'm sure. Paul, how you doing?
Good, Rick. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's always fun to talk with you, Paul, and catch up with you. Hey, you know, what was before you did the Beverly Times and the Salem News, were there other experiences that you had with writing?
Yes, I was actually, after I graduated from Beverly High School, I joined the Army. I was in the Army for 3 years, and I became a journalist in the Army. That's where I got my training, and I worked for a weekly newspaper at Fort Devens in Massachusetts.
Okay, so you didn't write
for 3 years.
You didn't write for the Stars and Stripes, though, huh?
I did not. No, I wish I did. And I just saw a story yesterday. They're going to stop the print version of the Stars and Stripes after something like,
it's sickening,
I don't know, 200 years. Or something,
yeah, it's disgusting. You know, and I'm going to say, I'm going to say editorially right now, our country is run by a bunch of ding-dongs. Let me say this. I was, I think, in the sixth or fifth grade when we were in Germany. My dad was in the Army. And we got, that was the main newspaper, of course, was the Stars and Stripes. And I immediately went to the sports page. That's where I really got into to reading about stuff, sports and news and everything else. I love the Stars and Stripes. I think it was awesome. But then how'd you end up at the Beverly Times?
Yeah, well, just it was my hometown newspaper. So when I got out of the Army, I just, that was a natural place to go, and I just walked in. And luckily, I still hadn't gone to college at that point. Without, you know, I was just enrolling, but I talked to the sports editor at the time, a guy named Jay Sweet, and I started doing sports part time. So that's how it all started.
And did you go to school also?
Yes, I went to BU, and I went there for a couple of years, and then I actually left, which wasn't the smartest thing, and I ended up finishing up at Salem State when I was like 40 years old.
God bless you,
so
man.
It was kind of an unusual academic career, but I thought, you know, I was working, doing what I wanted to do, so I wasn't as motivated to quit school, but I'm glad I eventually did.
That takes discipline, Paul, and you know, not everybody is ready for one place or another, especially at a young age. And when you had time in the service, you'd already had quite a bit of experience, and so, you know, once you're in the field, you're making money. It's hard to go, and plus it's hard initially to go back to college as an adult learner on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a little bit easier. I know that balancing work and homework, you know, day work and then homework at night is not easy, but the learning is a little bit easier, isn't it?
Yeah, so I was much more motivated and much more interested in every subject. I always say now that, you know, my two daughters have gone to college, and there's no place I'd rather live than on a college campus where you can just walk out and go to these classes in the library and cafeteria and sporting events, you know. But no, you're right, when I was much more motivated to learn, and so it really worked out. It worked out fine. You know, when I started, that's how far back it is. The journalism profession, it was sort of turning, but it really was like back in the days in the 30s and 40s. And you see some of these old movies, it was more of a blue collar profession, you know. And it was like a trade almost, where you just learned on the job. And I kind of caught the tail end of that, and it became much more, I don't know if you want to use the word, you know, professional, but, you know, more college-educated people. I mean, that happens in a lot of fields. But so that was sort of a transformation of journalism that I was kind of caught, you know, in between those two eras. So it was really interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean, too. And it has gone from one situation to another, I guess, or from one mode to another, with all the you know, the online stuff now and the social media and stuff. But the other thing I want to mention, Paul, before we get to the Beverly Beat, is you know, you and I and Bill Newell and Gary Larrabee and a bunch of other guys, we're of a certain generation. You're quite a bit younger than I am, but we're of a certain generation. And as we go along, what I have found in talking with sports journalists, news journalists, and media people in general in the area now on the North Shore, is there's an unsatiable what's the word I'm looking for? Insatiable quest for curiosity. We just want to keep learning.
Yes, totally. I think you're right, Rick, and that's what I know. I talked with you the last time I was on about starting up the Beverly Beat and learning about Substack and this whole new way of delivering news, and it's been very energizing. And in some ways, it's like quote unquote the same job. I'm writing stories and mostly about all about Beverly now, my hometown, which I love to do. But it's also it feels new at the same time because people are trying to find different ways to deliver the news and get people to consume it and to pay for it. So that's speaking of being motivated, that really keeps me motivated too. And it still feels fresh, even though I've been doing the same thing for more than 40 years.
Yeah, that's funny you should mention that, because I had a bit of a lull, and when I got back into doing some interviews, I've had a lot of technical problems, so things are kind of falling back together again. And doing these interviews, I feel absolutely renewed at my old age, and it's fun because I love to learn about stuff, and I know you do too. And it's interesting. I want to ask you about competition now, because you've started a whole new idea, I think, here on the North Shore. First of all, how's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, thanks, Rick. Subscriptions continue to grow. Sort of, it's definitely at a slower pace than it was at the beginning, but pretty steady. I've been doing it for a year and 8 months now, but it's been really great. I have I have over 2,600 subscribers, and
whoa,
quite a few pay voluntarily, which makes which is nice. And I think people still want local news. Maybe now they want it more than ever, because it's tough to find. And so I've gotten such a great response, where people are very enthusiastic about it, and they say this is what we need. And it's been very gratifying, really, and really a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what I found about broadcasting versus teaching. It is pretty ego gratifying, and you know when you've done a good job. Whereas in teaching, you might not find out till years later if you've done a good job. But what about the subscription, Paul? Before we get to some details, because I want you to make money and I want you to keep this thing going, but I also know there's competition. So tell me about the subscription.
The subscription costs $7 per month or $70 per year. There's also an option to become a sustaining member, sort of like you hear on PBS, for $200. And I've been really grateful that some people have done that, because they want to support local news and support what I'm doing. So, but most of my stories are free, so it's mostly voluntary to pay. I do put paywalls on some story. That's sort of a whole other subject, and that can be kind of, I don't know if you'd say controversial, but some people don't like to, all of a sudden run into a paywall, which I understand. But the flip side is, a lot of work.
Yeah.
Produce local journalism. It's a job, And so anyway, that's the way it works. But it really is a nice feeling to say, for the most part, people are voluntarily paying, which, I don't know how many businesses there are where if you could walk into a store and get something for free,
right.
I talk some people would pay the money, so it's good. It's a nice feeling to know that people want to support local journalism.
All right, here at the top, again, before we get into some other stuff that I want to talk to you about, how do people subscribe to the Beverly Beat?
Yes, that you can go to. It's thebeverlybeat.substack.com, or if you just, Google, just search the Beverly Beat, and it'll pop right up, and you can go to the website, and there's a subscribe button right on there, and you have the option if you want to become a free subscriber or a paid subscriber. And if you click on paid, it takes you to the page where you can enter all your information and your credit cards and so forth. And it's a pretty seamless platform. That's one thing I learned about. It's called Substack, the platform that I'm on, and it's really grown over the last maybe 8 years it's been around, something like that. And so it's pretty seamless, and it works really well. So, yeah, you can do it right on the website, the Beverly Beetle. And once you sign up, again, either free or paid, every time I write a story, you will get the story in your email inbox. That's the key. So mm-hmm. the delivery system is email, which is kind of old school in a way. Even.
I know.
That's become a growing way to spread news. So, in other words, you don't rely on the algorithms of a website. It's not just, stumble across the Beverly Beat on, Google. Is it, once you do learn about it, maybe from somebody, you sign up and you get an email every time I write a story. So there's that sort of direct connection between myself and the reader, which I really like.
Did you figure this technical stuff out by yourself, or did your daughter help you?
You know what? I did pretty well. I did get some help from my daughters and my wife Susan, who is a former reporter. She's my editor, so I definitely couldn't do this without her.
Nice.
But no, the platform, it was relatively easy to set up. I'm no tech guy, and I've even done some. I'm kind of getting into your business, Rick. I've done a couple of live video.
Yes, you have. Yes.
On the site. I think I've done three of them, and that's been fun too. And all that technology is built into the Substack platform. You could do a podcast if you want to, and you can add photos. I think it looks really nice, the presentation. So, so it's worked out well for me. They take 10% of the money for the to do it. That's how they get.
I'm glad
it's been worth it.
Sorry. I'm glad you have an editor, and I don't know how if people understand how important that is on my site, because Bill is retired now, and it's just me for the most part. I noticed on my post yesterday, on my news post for the North Shore Today, I totally had misspelled September and left the date off, and that was up there for 24 hours. And then I looked at it this morning. I said, "You dummy." So it's good that you have an editor. That's important. Hey, how about merchandise? You got any merchandise yet?
Wow, geez, I feel like I'm like I prompted you on some of these questions, Rick. Because we actually do have T-shirts. I just ordered a bunch a couple of weeks ago. I had some made up when I first started over a year ago, just sort of for family and friends. But then this year, as I did last year, I had a table at Lobster Festival during Beverly Homecoming, and got lots of visitors, and people could sign up if they wanted to buy a T-shirt, and some people did, so I'm actually, so now I'm in the T-shirt business, but I still haven't figured out a way other than to have a table at the Lobster Festival how to sell them. I'm going to put something up on my website at one point. It's mostly, it's a way to make a little bit of money, but it's also a great way to promote the newsletter, if you see people around town wearing Beverly Beetle.
I think in all the local communities, people are happy to support local businesses, and they do it, in so many different ways. And it's a bit of community there when you can wear a T-shirt that promotes something in town that does good, and you do good. Now let me shift gears here. I want to go to something on your most recent article, which I absolutely loved, with Rob Bradford and Joe Kelly. And it's interesting that you have put this article out there on Baseball Isn't Boring a couple of days before Phil Stacey promoted it in the Salem News. And that leads me to wonder, is there any competition between you two?
I don't know. I guess sort of there's the natural competition, you do want to get a story first. But I look at it as the Beverly Beat is not really in direct competition with the Salem News. Per se, I still have a great relationship with the people there, at least I know.
Of course. Yep.
Bill's a great friend. I've known him forever. And but I sort of, I don't do the day-to-day stuff. I don't do stories every day. I probably average three stories a week, I would say, sometimes four. And certainly in the sports world, I don't, I do an occasional story on sports, but it would be more of a feature. I don't cover games. I don't do the daily roundups that Phil and the Salem News does. So, there is some crossover there. It's the same on the news side. But, I think because of the situation with local journalism and how You know, there's a lack of it across the country, really. And, you know, I wish the salesmen the best, and I want them to stay in business and, you know, and keep writing stories, because I think, you know, the more coverage we have, the better.
Yeah, well, I said that with tongue-in-cheek because, you know, Phil is always willing to share. The Salem News people that I've known over the years are always willing to share. We help out. We try to help one another. I know that you've been a help to me so many times with names and stories and things like that. And it makes the area, which is so wide geographically, sports makes it small, and the sharing of that, you know, even in the sharing of news, if you know what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with you, Rick, and I think it's, you know, back in the day when I started, and you know, with there was the Salem News and the Beverly Times, and of course, there's, you know, Phil, you know, the Gloucester Times and a lot of, but there were, I guess what I'm saying is there was really intense competition between the Salem News and the Beverly Times back in the days when, you know, Bill Kaforis was a sports writer, and you mentioned Gary Lowery and Mike Greiner. They had these great, you know, sports writers have been there a long time and had this incredible coverage, and we were the smaller Beverly Times, and then, you know, we were trying to compete, and so I sort of grew up with that competition, you know, and you always want to beat the other guy, but I do think it has changed in some respect. You know, you're still competitive and you want to get the best stories first, but I totally agree with you in this environment. You know, hey, let's work together and get as much coverage as we can.
Yeah, I love it. And credit to Paul Halloran also over in Lynn with bringing in the item and up in Newburyport. The whole thing is just really cool. I really do enjoy it. Back to Rob Bradford and Joe Kelly. First of all, Joe Kelly is one of my favorite ex-Red Sox players of all time. Now, did you actually get to talk? Well, you know, set the background for the Bradford-Kelly story, but don't give it all away because we want to drive people to your website.
Okay, sure. Yeah, well, Rob Bradford is, you know, people have probably seen and heard him on TV and radio, and he writes for WEEI, the website, and he's a Beverly guy. I've known Rob for a long time. I used to work with him, you know, back at the Beverly Times. He's this really, you know, hardworking sports writer that worked his way up and has become literally what they call a Red Sox insider. Like, he knows his stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. He's worked for a lot of, you know, different newspapers, but he's been at WEEI now for quite a while, and he has a podcast. But anyway, a few years ago, he and Joe Kelly, the Red Sox pitcher, started this new company called, and they call it Baseball Isn't Boring. The idea came from this book they were doing about where Joe Kelly interviewed famous, you know, people and asked them, you know, why they like baseball. So anyway, this phrase, Baseball Isn't Boring, became very popular, and Rob and Joe decided to actually, you know, form a company, and they sell T-shirts. Rob has a podcast on WEEI called Baseball Isn't Boring. But the hook for the story, and I always thought, you know, Rob would be a great story on how he's worked his way up, because I've known him for a long time. And the hook to the story was yesterday at Fenway Park. It was actually Baseball Isn't Boring Day at Fenway during the game. And then they had an event afterwards at a brewery across the street, and Joe Kelly and Rich Hill, another former major league pitcher from the Boston area, and others had the discussion. I didn't actually go into that, but I sat down with Rob last week and, you know, talked about his career and how the Baseball Isn't Boring, you know, slogan and phenomenon sort of took off. So it was really fun. It was really a fun story to do. And
it's
basically a story of a local kid, who's done well. You know, Rob actually grew up in Essex and he lived in Beverly with his wife, and they raised three kids there.
It's a fun read.
Good story, and a local guy who's done well.
Yeah, it's a fun read. Now, it's Taylor Ann Bradford. That's his daughter, right?
Taylor, yes. And, Taylor is the editor of the relatively new newspaper in Hamilton Wenham. And Taylor worked at the Gloucester Times. Mm-hmm. I worked with Taylor, and she's a great, great reporter and editor. And,
yes.
And she's really doing a great job over in Hamilton Wenham getting... They actually have a print you know, product, which, you know, is more unusual these days. It's not just online. They have a print newspaper, so it's great to see them doing that. And like you said, they're providing more coverage for the local journalism.
Oh, yeah, and she's great. She's absolutely terrific. She used to do regular interviews with us, or spots with us, too, as well, like you have done over the years.
Okay.
She's awesome. Does Joe Kelly live in the area?
He lives in California.
Wow, okay.
I didn't talk to him for the story. I just talked to Ron. But he actually, you know, well, he obviously came out. He threw the first pitch last night. He was actually going to be at, what time is it now as we speak? But he was at a store in Sully's, a store in Beverly that sells T-shirts and does other stuff. And he was signing autographs there. But he lives in California, and he became famous for that. That whole incident where he hit the batter charged him until he sort of threw down his glove and stood his ground, and there was the whole Joe Kelly Fight Club
thing. Yeah, and, I love Joe Kelly. Yep, and he was, absolutely. I wish they could have kept him. Okay, good story. Now, before we end this thing, so far, and I was going to ask you a specific question about the Beverly Beat, but I'm going to broaden it. Paul, what comes to mind, and I want you to think about this now, when I ask you something like, what is a story or stories, plural, that you are most, I don't want to say proud of, but something that comes to mind that says, I'm glad I was there, or I'm glad I did that?
Yeah, that is a great question, Rick. Well, usually the story that stands out the most to me that I've done over the years, because of the impact that I had, I think if you can do some, you know, do a story and it actually causes some change for the better, that's almost the best outcome you have. But anyway, it's a story I did on this environmental cleanup
that's
been going on in Beverly for 30 years. It's known here in Beverly as the Varian, site. It's sort of across the street where the Whole Foods is in Beverly now, you're right off Route 128. But anyway, it's a long story, but there's been an environmental cleanup going on there for years. There were toxic chemicals under the ground from, you know, back in the day when they used to just dump this stuff. And the danger is that it goes underground into the neighborhood and under homes and can vaporize and get inside homes, you know? So
yes.
It was a big deal years ago, and then people forgot about it. And I ended up doing a story, I guess it was, I don't know, was it 10 years ago now for the Salem News? And it, you know, showing that these chemical levels are still high, but people sort of took their eye off the ball and it wasn't being cleaned up properly. So people, the neighbors and a lot of the local politicians and even at the state level sort of, you know, took notice, and they put pressure on the company, and the company has since spent millions of dollars on all these new cleanup techniques to try to get rid of these chemicals underground. It's a very complicated process, but and a lot of progress is being made now. So, I mean, I guess I can say that if it wasn't for my story, that this wouldn't have been done. You know, a company that has lots of resources, they're based in California now, but they're still, you know, responsible for the land, but they end up spending all this money because I wrote the story and it called it to, you know, the attention of people, and people, you know, rallied and put the pressure on them. So that was really gratifying.
Yes,
and
indeed.
The story having an impact.
100%. Yes, and you talked to us. I appreciate that over the years as well. So we were able to put your story out there. That was yes, incredible. And I totally agree with you. Okay, now, let's sort of put a wrap on this thing. I've got a couple of things I want to ask you to do, and one is to maybe highlight a couple of stories in your archive, and how do we find those stories in your archive? And then I'll ask you to wrap up once again on how we connect all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Rick. Yeah, so if you just, again, search the Beverly Beat, just Google the Beverly Beat, and you'll come to the website, and it has all the most recent stories are there. But right across the top, there's a little tab that says archive. It actually says archive, so you click on that, and then you can you, you you can find all the stories I've written since it started, almost 2 years ago. And like I said, unless they had a paywall on them, then mostly, they're all they're all free, and you can read them. So you can, you can go through and you can read them all if you want.
Okay, and there's a lot out there, I know. Okay, anything in the fire? Anything where you can look forward to here that you have pending?
Well, I'm trying to track down, I guess I don't want to say, a story about, the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks is coming up. And, always looking for the local angle, and we have written quite a bit over the years. There's the FEMA, search and rescue team, the local one is
right
up here next to Beverly Airport, and I've done a lot of stories on them over the years, but I'm looking at one that has, I guess I'll just say it's an unusual angle that I haven't written before, about the response from Beverly to New York City that day. That FEMA team based at Beverly Airport, from what I've been told, I need to double check, they were the first FEMA team to arrive
right.
in New York, because the local FEMA team was based in New Jersey, but all the bridges were out or were being blocked, I think, and they actually had trouble getting there. But so I have a good story I hope I can get about how exactly the FEMA team based in Beverly got to New York City that day on September 11th.
Oh, I hope so, because I know there are a lot of firefighters from all over the North Shore who participated in that initially, right off the bat. And I know there's a Gloucester firefighter who was there as well, a couple of them, and police as well. So I hope you can pull that off. That'd be great to look at. In the meantime, again, please recap as to how we can get a hold of the Beverly Beat, either free or contribute to it.
It's just as simple as Googling the Beverly Beat. You can stick my name in there, Paul Layton, if that helps, and the website will pop right up, and then it's all right in there. There's a button that says where you can subscribe. You don't even need to subscribe. By subscribing, it just means every time I write a story, you'll get an email. But if you want to just read the story off the website, you can do that too without subscribing. So obviously it's all optional, and then you can subscribe for free, or you can choose to pay, which would be great.
It's good to know that sometimes there is a free lunch, so that's good.
Exactly.
All right, that's Paul Layton, sports journalist, news journalist, extraordinaire, really, from the North Shore, with more on the Beverly Beat. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.